Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Janaranjana Jamunati Ravanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Kunja Bihari Yatunatira Vanachari Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Bihari Upijana Vallabha Jaya Girivara Dhari Jaya Girivara Dhari Upijana
Paramahamsa, Paramahamsa Vacharya, Shatrava Shatta Shri, Shri Mata's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Grantaraj, the King of all Scriptures, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, Talks Between Narada and King Prachinabarhi, text number 75. Anena purusho dehan upadate vimunchati harsham shokam bhayam dukham sukham janena vindati anena purusho dehan upadate vimunchati harsham shokam bhayam dukham sukham janena vindati anana purusho dehan upadate vimunchati harsham shokam bhayam dukham sukham janena vindati. Mothers, anena, by this process, purushaha, the living entity, dehan, gross bodies, upadate, achieves, vimunchati, gives up, harsham, enjoyment, shokam, lamentation, bhayam, fear, dukham, unhappiness, sukham, happiness, cha, also, anena, by the gross body, vindati, enjoys. Translation and purport by Frandaracharya. Unhappiness. Please repeat the verse. By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus, the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness. Purport. According to this explanation, one can clearly understand that originally the living entity was as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his pure spiritual existence. However, when the mind becomes polluted by desires for sense gratification in the material world, the living entity drops into the material conditions, as explained in this verse. Thus, he begins his material existence, which means that he transmigrates from one body to another and becomes more and more entangled in material existence. The process of Krishna consciousness, by which one always thinks of Krishna, is the transcendental process by which one can revert to his original spiritual existence. Devotional service means always thinking of Krishna. Manumana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus, you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. Bhagavad Gita, 1865. One should always engage in the Lord's devotional service. As recommended in the Archana Marga, one should worship the deity in the temple and constantly offer obeisances to the spiritual master and the deity. These processes are recommended to one who actually wants to become free from material entanglement. Modern psychologists can study the actions of the mind, thinking, feeling, and willing, but they are unable to go deep into the matter. This is due to their lack of knowledge and to their not being associated with a liberated acharya. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.2, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sakalane hamahata yogo nashta parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Guided by so-called psychologists and philosophers, people in the modern age do not know of the activities of the subtle body and thus cannot understand what is meant by the transmigration of the soul. In these matters, we have to take the authorized statements of Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Dehanosmin yata dehe komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. The self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Unless all human society understands this important verse in Bhagavad Gita, civilization will advance in ignorance, not in knowledge. Omagyana tamarandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahim didati svapadantikam vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasundubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhar shri vasari gora bhakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 hare hare Anena purusho dehan upparate vimunchati harsham shokam bhayam dukham sukham janena vindati. By virtue of the processes of the subtle body, the living entity develops and gives up gross bodies. This is known as the transmigration of the soul. Thus, the soul becomes subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness. Srila Prabhupada reveals the fact that by modern psychological and philosophical research and examination, it's not possible to understand how the subtle body is working to change the situation of the living entity from one body to the next. And the reason for this is that there is no acceptance of the existence of the soul. And if one doesn't accept that there's a soul, then what's the conclusion? The conclusion is that I am the subtle body. I am the mind. I am this ego that is who I am. So it's not possible to understand how is it that this thing is separate from the living entity and somehow forces him to move to a different condition, or how it creates a different situation for him that he doesn't want. If I am the mind, then I'm in control of my destiny. I'm the one who is making these decisions, right? It's my life. I am living it the way that I choose to live it. And if I want to be happy, I can be happy. People say these things all the time. I can be happy if I want to be happy. Why not? I'm a happy guy. You just people say there's phrases, you know, like it's just a matter of putting your mind to it, or it's just a matter of the way you look at the world. You can be happy if you just change your perspective. If you just, because the idea is that the mind is mine and it's under my control. But the factual situation is, as this verse, Narada Muni is expressing in this verse, that the soul is subjected, not choosing, but subjected to different types of so-called enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness, which actually are none of the above, but are transformations of the modes of nature, which are perceived as enjoyment, lamentation, fear, happiness, and unhappiness by the mind. There is no such thing as any of these so-called experiences in material life. But according to whatever modes of nature are affecting the mind of the living entity, he experiences different things as this, right? I once went to a horror movie with some person who liked horror movies. And afterwards I was expressing, like, I can't see these kind of movies. And she was like, I like these kind of movies. I was like, I can't understand how you can like these kind of movies. The whole time you're just waiting for this horrific looking entity to, you know, tear apart other people by surprise, to, you know, somehow give you a jolt of excitement. And for me, that's like, get me out of this room, please. This is horrible. I paid for this experience. For other people, it's just like, very nice, somehow. So it doesn't have anything to do with us, actually, either of these experiences. It just has to do with the configuration of the mind in terms of how it's influenced by the different modes of nature. So fear, whatever makes us happy, whatever makes us unhappy, whatever we consider to be enjoyment, or whatever causes us to lament, none of these things have anything to do with our reality or with who we really are. As Srila Prabhupada Swami expressed when he was here, our emotions really aren't important, actually. Although we shouldn't, you know, consider that to mean that we ignore or repress the emotions, because we have to manage this material situation properly to assist us with our devotional service. But actually, they're not at all important, because they don't mean anything. They mean as much as the particular shape of a snowflake may mean. What is the value of the particular shape of a snowflake? Every snowflake is different. So if you go outside in Chicago on a winter day after the snow has fallen, how many millions of snowflakes are on the ground? So what is the value of one shape of one particular snowflake that you may find? There's no value. Or somebody may say, it's one of the beautiful intricacies of nature. Yeah. That's true. You know, we can't discount the wonder of Krishna's creation. But to place value on that as a part of our personal existence is illusion. So similarly, all of these emotions are separate from us, but modern psychological and philosophical understanding doesn't allow one to go further than that. Why is that? Srila Prabhupada is explaining. One has to understand from the proper source. Specifically, he expresses it in this way. It's due to their lack of knowledge, one thing, but it's not just understanding, because one can read the knowledge but not receive it. It's due to their lack of knowledge and to their not being associated with a liberated acharya. So two problems. One, not getting the information. Didn't receive a Bhagavad Gita. And the second thing is, didn't study it in the understanding and association given by a true teacher, a true acharya. So, their problem is the same problem that all of us have who have dropped into this material condition. That is, without Krishna consciousness, we are stuck in the polluted condition of life. And he explains very simply that the living entity was as good as the personality of Godhead when he was pure in his real spiritual existence. But by pollution of desires for sense gratification of a material nature, then he is in the contaminated condition. So the way to get out of that is simply always to be thinking of Krishna. Simply. Through the process of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada points out specifically, one should bow down constantly to the spiritual master and the deity if one wants to become free from material entanglement, and he juxtaposes against this the modern idea of trying to understand by studying the matter. But one is not able to go deep into it unless he is willing to submit himself to the proper authority. Therefore, modern society is advancing actually in ignorance by following the conclusions of these so-called researchers. And that is the nature of our existence right now. Forward movement means building upon the discoveries of the past and making future discoveries of what reality is. But as Srila Prabhupada has put so simply, if at the beginning of the math equation you thought that 1 plus 1 was 3, then the rest of it, no matter how beautiful it may look, is incorrect. So that is the nature of our existence in the material world. And the only means to relieve that situation is if society understands this important verse of Bhagavad Gita. So that's the mission of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, to help persons to understand by knowledge and by experience. It's not only by hearing this verse that people are going to accept it. That Srila Prabhupada has stated. If they simply hear, you are not this body, the mind is polluted by material desires of sense gratification in the material world. What is the opportunity? Srila Prabhupada, I heard him saying this morning, if you still have some idea of enjoying in this material world, trying to understand spiritual subjects is a waste of time. Now that may seem discouraging for some of us, but his next expression was, therefore, those who are in that condition, by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, what are we doing? Actually, chanting can only be done by people like Haridas Thakur, who are already liberated. That's what Srila Prabhupada was explaining. Actually chanting can only be done by persons like Haridas Thakur, who are already liberated. So what are we doing chanting Hare Krishna every day? Cheto darpana marjanam. Just for the purpose of clearing off the misunderstanding of who we are and what is our situation in life, so that we can come to the condition Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate and actually Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param, achieve real devotional service to the Lord. So devotional service begets pure devotional service. And only persons who actually engage in devotional service can achieve the clarity to advance in knowledge, not in ignorance. Others, they may be studying. I was being told about a person who's been around for 20 years reading Prabhupada's books. And I was like, I won't say the exact conversation that was going on, but the conclusion that both of us finally came to was like, this person is obviously not very interested in devotional service. Because if you, or put another way, it's not a very exciting thing to see that persons are still coming after 20 years and only occasionally reading Srila Prabhupada's books. It's nice because there's some purification every time you come in contact with Krishna. But from another angle, it means I'm not actually interested to give up material life. So this kind of condition is not sufficient. We have to become exhausted, and that will happen if we try to serve Krishna in the material world, because it's very difficult to do. And one has to choose Krishna or material enjoyment. You can't have both. So engage in devotional service very seriously is our option. And Krishna will give us all intelligence to understand the wrong situation of the material so-called enjoyment program. Anyway, any comments, questions, or discussion on this verse? Yes, Charya Nishapu. Not having value. Yeah, they're only in relation to Krishna. So, because spiritual means that you understand reality, so if there's spiritual emotions, then they have to be in relation to reality. And what is reality? Vasudeva Sarvameti. If you actually are seeing reality, you only will see Krishna. So your feelings can only be in relationship to Krishna. There is nothing else that exists. Although transformations of Krishna's energy, you can say, etc. But there's no illusion. everything is in relation to Krishna. And then we can say in Krishna Lila, Krishna covers everyone by Yoga Maya and all these things are happening, etc., etc. That's another level of understanding, but we know that that's not our situation. So our emotions are all in relation to other things that have to do with the body. I'm lamenting because I lost something in relation to the body. I'm afraid because of the danger in which the body currently may be, or something that comes from the body. It can be a subtle thing, my ideas, my opinions. I can be afraid that they will be, you know, overtaken by someone else. My happiness is something to do with the body, etc. And spiritual emotions means I'm happy because I know that Krishna is happy. Simply expressed. I'm unhappy because I know that Krishna is not happy. I'm enjoying because Krishna is enjoying, so I'm happy because Krishna is happy, etc. Like that. It seems simplistic, but in reality, there is no difference. Somebody asked Srila Prabhupada one time, whatever, Prabhupada, Swamiji, whatever they said, I don't know. What is, do you see if you see a bomb dropping? And Prabhupada said, I see a not-so-lovable feature of Krishna. I see the not-so-lovable feature of Krishna, something like that was his expression. I messed up the question, and I'm sure I messed up the answer, but the idea was he saw this is Krishna in a not-so-lovable form or something like that, he said. So there's no concept of these emotions for a person who's actually self-realized. They just have to do with the body. I don't know, that seems maybe obvious, so I don't know if I'm answering your question exactly, but there will be emotions also acting. We don't have spiritual emotions until we actually experience them in relationship to Krishna. Now, we may have emotions in things that are related to Krishna. For instance, I may be having these emotions in relationship to Krishna's devotees, or in relation to Krishna's paraphernalia, or in relation to Krishna's temple, or Krishna's mission, or, you know, all these things we would say, we might call them spiritual emotions. And that could be kind of the in-between thing. The difference being, not that they couldn't necessarily be spiritual emotions, but the difference being, are we actually on the self-realized platform or not? Or is it just an opportunity for us to repose our emotions on something that has some relation to Krishna? We're still seeing it in a material way, but it's connecting us to Krishna. That's the difference. If we actually are seeing it 100%, 24/7, as something that is related to, coming from, belongs to Krishna, then it's a spiritual emotion. But if we're not, then it's a bridge towards Krishna because it's something that's related to Krishna. Yes, Prabhu, sure.
Hare Krishna. Emotions in Krishna consciousness means that anything that's in relationship with Krishna itself, one applies one's full heart. Right. The different grades of devotees, we have Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. And even with that, there are some subdivisions. But in the Uttam platform, because the emotion of love of God overseen by everything in the material world, because everything the devotee sees in relationship to Krishna, automatically that emotion super exceeds to every living entity. In the Kanishtha platform, generally, we only, when we come to the temple or everything that's in relationship with the particular temple or the deities itself, we only see a certain emotion there because we only see it and attached to the deities. But as we develop in Krishna consciousness, which that's what we're supposed to be doing, developing all the way to the stage of Uttam, as we develop, our love will be extended to all living entities. Prabhupada, a good example of Prabhupada seeing emotion, when he was last in London, while they were taking him to the temple, he wanted so much, he loved the living entity so much, in London, of course, around the world, but he loved the people so much. He said, "Can't these people? I mean, they eat meat. Can't they at least not eat the cow? I mean, that's a symptom of emotion." So it's not that as devotees, on whatever platform that we are, that we don't have emotions. The emotions have to be truly connected towards Godhead, but it advances as we understand more Krishna consciousness and we evolve in our Krishna consciousness mentality. But generally in the Kanisa platform, because we have so much anarthas, we're also very proud, because that's a symptom that comes as to, that's actually an anartha, one of the anarthas as one starts devotional service. One is proud, thinking that one's service or one's time in devotional service is a high esteem for Krishna. So these anarthas actually impede us to actually get into deep realization and emotion. Plus, also emotions are in different degrees, even with devotees, because Yasoda and Devaki, they're two pure devotees. But the extent of the prema of emotion towards Krishna is very different, because in Yasoda, which is the highest, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has his, in the 10th canto, he explains that he has the utmost awe and reverence for and respect for Yasoda, because it's a high, the prema is so high that Krishna is totally surrendered to that. Whereas in Devaki, even though Krishna was born from Devaki, still she did not see Krishna did not have the in-depth service attitude like Devaki did, wherein Yasoda actually was giving breast and was loving Krishna in a prema mood, whereas Devaki was in awe and reverence because she had a philosophical understanding of the supremacy of the Lord. So these are different grades of emotion within devotees. Mm-hmm. So emotion, and the main thing is that one should read Chaitanya Charitamrita, because by reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, one actually sees how within the devotees that emotional quality is manifest there. First, it has to start with the Vaishnavas, because by serving the Vaishnavas, one pleases Krishna. So it's imperative that one develops an emotional and an in-depth love with the Vaishnavas, anybody who's chanting. But of course, that emotional extent, it has to be in a proportionate to the advancement of that devotee. Mm. Is that good enough?
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you very much. You brought up a couple points just for me to review for everybody. A lot of points, but just something, things that I appreciated. One is everything is in relation to Krishna, which I didn't specifically state. So actually the emotions can be in relation to everything, but we don't see them in relation to Krishna. He said that very directly. And the other thing is that the quality of emotions is on the liberated platform, but it's different for even devotees on the liberated platform. So anyway, thank you very much for adding your thoughts, Prabhu. And in relation to the different levels of devotees, so many nice points. Somebody else had something else they wanted to say. Did I see something? No? Sorry. I thought I saw somebody with their hand up. Ready, Richard? Get somebody to get him the mic.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
So, accepting and rejecting is on the platform of the mind, but emotions are also on the platform of the mind, correct?
Illusory emotions, at least, if that's what we're talking about. Accepting and rejecting.
So what about then accepting and rejecting when you see something,
you know, from your fettered state, but you see something as Krishna, prasadam, for instance, accepting and rejecting that based on emotion, would that be spiritual emotion?
Would accepting and rejecting prasadam based on emotions be spiritual emotion? I'm just repeating to clarify for myself, and also because the mic's not working. So, is that right? That was the question? Okay. Well, I want to answer it, but I want to answer it carefully. Is accepting or rejecting prasadam a spiritual emotion? Okay, the way that starting the answer to the question is that it's always safe to assume that whatever thing we're experiencing in Krishna consciousness is mixed. Generally, it's heavily mixed by a material side of things. So it doesn't mean that the soul is zero and there's no Krishna in this situation. But generally speaking, we're controlled by the mind. So that's the first fundamental thing, I guess, in all of these discussions, maybe, to help us. And then another aspect would be that prasadam, in terms of accepting and rejecting, you don't mean like accepting prasadam or not accepting prasadam. You mean like I'm choosing which one that I will take. Yeah. So that, unless we are somehow very advanced, would have to be on the platform of the mind, which means it would be material. But I can't say for everybody because I don't know what everybody's situation is. So how can I say? But we can introspect and understand if we're still on the material platform or not, and then make a conclusion based on that, I would say. Any addition or subtraction? Oh, yeah.
Because the devotees were taking the prasad and looking at the prasad as enjoyment. Hey, this is what I want, this is what I want. At that platform, it becomes sense gratification. And it's an emotion, but it's an emotion on the material quality for sense enjoyment. Yeah. That's not the proper mentality. When you take prasadam, especially mahaprasadam, it should be honored to respect it, not to enjoy it. So whenever it's on the platform of enjoyment, that emotion is a negative. Whenever it's on the platform of spirituality, where you want to you respect it and you're eating to honor it, because Krishna has eaten it and you want to savor what Krishna is eating out of love and respect. Mm-hmm. At that platform, that emotion is a spiritual emotion. So, in our condition, Prabhupada, obviously, you know, for the Westerners, Prabhupada was very, very liberal because we're very conditioned. You know, Indians, by their culture and nature already, they already know. Usually you see them when they come, they just take a little bit to honor. We Westerners, we take a whole big plate, you know, because our nature is enjoyment, that we were raised for that. But the emotions are different, you know, but we have to change it to a spiritual emotion to always honor. That's why we say Sarira Vijaja. Is that good enough?
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Yeah, the mood is, that's one way to better say something I was trying to say. Instead of, we can understand what our consciousness is. So when we're approaching it, what's the consciousness? As he's expressing, is the consciousness simply, this is my opportunity to serve or honor Krishna by taking, you know, then perhaps the internal potency has the opportunity to work to direct us to this thing or that thing, you know, not based upon sense perception. That's if we're actually in that potency. So that's another way of saying what I was saying. We have to be honest where we are generally. What's my absorption generally speaking? It's not like it's going to be totally different when I come for prasadam time. You know, it's like, you know, we just have to be honest. But anyway, I mean, all these discussions can just become discouraging. Basically, we just want to keep trying to serve as nicely as we can with our hearts, as he's expressing, if we have that intention for loving and honoring Krishna in those activities, then we'll make advancement. So that's what we really want to focus on. Not where we are so much all the time, although it's good to know in general, but more, as Srila Prabhupada's saying in the purport, constantly focusing on Krishna. That's how we're going to get out of the situation, whatever it is. Anything else? Yes, Bhakta Matt. Jai.
Hare Krishna. In the practice of bhakti, specifically what services are most pleasing to Krishna?
Put simply, from my limited understanding, it's whatever is pleasing to the spiritual master is most pleasing to Krishna. Whatever is pleasing to Krishna's devotees is what's most pleasing to Krishna. That's the easiest way for us to understand. Srila Prabhupada has expressed it that way in the Bhagavad Gita. How do we know what Krishna wants us to do? Some people may say, Krishna is not here. How do I know what Krishna wants me to do? Should I come up with an idea, or should I figure out what I feel like is good? We should make a reference. Guru Sadhu and Shastra, the spiritual master, saintly persons, pure devotees, and the scriptural direction. Then we can make our best attempt to do what's most pleasing to Krishna by regulating ourselves within that understanding.
That brings a point to me that we sometimes only like to do services that are favorable to ourselves. We take the easier route. Well, I like this service because this service is particularly more enjoyable for myself, relating to to the self instead of to Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Yeah, definitely. Srila Prabhupada expresses that in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita too. Arjuna is seeing the situation, and I don't want to fight with my family and stuff. And Srila Prabhupada says that actually no one has the interest of the Supreme in mind. Everyone has his own interest in mind. It's the condition of sense gratification mentality. So as the condition becomes more, like we were talking about real emotions with Charyanishtha Prabhu's question, I'm happy because Krishna is happy, then it changes. We're not looking at the service as whether it's easy for me or not. The interest is, I'm feeling happy because I know that Krishna is pleased by this. Otherwise, it's, I'm feeling happy because somehow my mental conception is that this is a nice activity. So that's something that we have to adjust over time, or that will be adjusted over time by the internal energy, by serving those personalities who already love Krishna and want Krishna to be pleased. We just do what we know is pleasing to them, and make that our understanding of what we should be happy about. I should be happy because the place is clean and organized. I don't like cleaning and organizing, but Krishna is happy when things are clean and organized. So I should feel happy to see that the room is nicely clean and organized. Then we're connecting our sense of what happiness is to Krishna's sense of happiness. Something like that from my neophyte platform I'm expressing. So, yes, Prabhu. You can chime in anytime you want, Prabhu. I'm very happy to hear your voice if you'd like to speak.
Yeah, a good point of that was when Yudhisthira, before there was the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Yudhisthira went to Bhishma, went to Drona, went to all his superiors and asked them for permission before he actually engaged in battle. You know? And they all said that if you hadn't come to me, you know, blah, 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 you know, they would have definitely annihilated. So the main thing for any service is that we want the blessings of our superiors. And since a devotee is supposed to be engaged in devotional service by the instruction of the spiritual master, whatever one does should be done under the guidance of the spiritual master. Then as one advances, then one's internal sense gratification will be should be eradicated. And at that point, one can do devotional service by one's heart. But initially, yes, one needs the supervision of a spiritual master or somebody who's senior to one that knows the intricacies of devotional service, so that one's tendency of sense gratification to exploit Krishna for one's own self is minimized and ultimately eradicated. Because by nature, when we come to Krishna consciousness initially, we're going to be bringing a lot of luggage with us. And the spiritual masters are to cut all that luggage out so we can surrender fully. We can see Prabhupada's disciples, you know, so many sacrifices they did in order to bring these temples up, you know, so many sacrifices. Now we come here and we live in by the austerity of their sacrifices because they love Prabhupada and they sacrifice everything for Prabhupada. And that is the mood that the disciples should have for the spiritual master. And they have advanced, you know, even though many have fallen, even though many are not strict, still a lot of them have gone back to Godhead because of that service attitude. So we want to go back to Godhead, and we want to eradicate sense gratification. We may not be able to do it because sometimes it's a difficult issue. But the main point is that we follow the order of the spiritual master to the best of our ability, despite our anarthas, despite of anything. And we are guaranteed a goal because the spiritual master is pleased. Is that good enough?
Thank you, Prabhu. This is a nice class. Different perspectives and higher level input. Go ahead, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So there was this one point that came up that I was thinking about a little bit. You're mentioning the misconception of people that, oh, anyway, it's all like a... I can't remember exactly how you put it. It's like
talking about the mind.
The mind, that's right, exactly. It's all in your mind. You just I can be happy. It's totally in my control. Mm. It's just like however you think about it, you got to see it the right way, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But I was just remembering when Maharaj was here, Ramapad Swami was here. Mm-hmm. He brought up that, like, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, some people say it's just a state of mind or something like that.
Happiness is a state of mind. That's the saying, goes like that.
Okay. And Prabhupada said, yes. He basically gave the affirmative. And Rumpad Swami's explanation was, yeah, either your mind is taking shelter of the inferior energy or you're taking shelter of the superior energy.
Right.
So it's kind of interesting how it's like, I guess my kind of little conclusion to that was that the misconceptions people have often have a little bit of truth there, and that's what makes them so dangerous as misconceptions, is because they're partial realizations of something that's like a true understanding. And then I was also thinking about how it's kind of like that it is the state of mind. You know, we can recognize when our mind is taking shelter of Maya sometimes, and then the practice, so it kind of is like a state of mind, but I was just thinking about it as hoping to show some realization, something comes to mind.
As he said, yes, your mind is either taking shelter of the internal potency or the external potency. And it's nice that he expressed it like that, because it also brings up another point that probably people are thinking about, or that's kind of been part of the questions, is, or all, many of us may be thinking in Krishna consciousness, is what is happiness, really? And when we take shelter of the internal potency in the conditioned state, the mind isn't feeling joyful all the time. The mind is feeling, I hate this. but on the soul platform, we should be convinced, we should be surrendered. Just like Srila Prabhupada's saying here, we have to take the authorized statements of the Bhagavad Gita, because we can't understand by, you know, our subtle conceptions and trying to, you know, figure it out like that. What is good for me, for instance, etc. What is actually making me happy? We have to accept another version. And so that happiness, because people say it's just a state of mind, that is false, because they have a conception of what happiness is supposed to be. I feel good like this, that, whatever. But that doesn't mean it's spiritual at all. It means it happens to be tweaking their particular modes of nature. But the happiness that he's talking about, we may not feel happy on a material platform, just as his question was about what's the kind of service that we pick. But if we know it's pleasing to Krishna, then the soul can be sure that this is happiness. I'm just living on the mental platform, so I'm not experiencing it. But if I surrender and be happy because Krishna is happy, then I will experience it. It's happiness. So it's illusory. I mean, you're saying it has some truth to it. I'm going to end with this little thing, unless there's somebody who wants to say something else. It seems like there's some truth to it, because all of us are the same. We have a mind, we have intelligence, we have an identity. The components are all there, and they work the same way. So the principles are all universal, but there's just a difference. One person's idea of happiness is eternal happiness, another person's idea is temporary happiness. So you can say the same thing all the time about everything. You can say, you know, relationships are the source of real happiness in life. You can say that one must be humble to, you know, understand himself. You can see so many things that sound very profound you can find within the material world. But what is that self that they're talking about? What is that happiness that they're speaking of? It all has to do with the temporary nature of existence. That's the real difference. Are we talking about spiritual? Or are we talking about material? Otherwise, we're all the same. Every living entity is just trying to be happy, ananda maya vyasat. Everyone's doing the same thing, but one person has understood that I'm not going to be happy by anything temporary, I'm only going to be happy by eternal. So they're focusing on that, and another is only advancing in the wrong direction. But we're all in the same, of the same nature, you know, whatever. Anyway, high topics. Just expressed some things. Hopefully, people appreciated. I'm very much appreciating that Prabhu was here. Prabhu, I apologize. I don't know your name, so I'm just appreciating your presence without knowing who you are. Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
All happiness and distress starts with the mind. So, because with our life, we can understand that sometimes at one moment somebody can do something, and we're not affected by that, and then a next moment we're in a different mood, and the person does the same thing, and our mind is like agitated. We're ready to beat the person up. So it's all within our own minds, you know. That's why I had mentioned earlier, and you were mentioning in your class, it's very imperative that one takes full surrender and shelter to the order of the spiritual master. Now, there are different degrades of spiritual masters. So another Vaishnava is another category of spiritual master. In the 11th canto, we see the description of this sage that was taking, accepting a fish, accepting a tortoise, different animals, spider, as spiritual masters. You know, Bivamangala Thakur accepted a prostitute as his spiritual master, Chintamani. But why did he accept those as spiritual masters? Because these entities in Chintamani, they helped them realize Krishna consciousness. So any person who helps you realize Krishna consciousness is a spiritual master, and that to that degree that they're advanced. So that's how we control the mind in our state of condition, you know, because we don't see, we see a statue right there, we don't actually see Krishna. So in our conditioning, that surrender to the spiritual master is an utmost to control that mind, because the mind is the one who's taking us all over the place. That
yes,
good enough?
Thank you so much for ending the class. And all glories to these noble devotees. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.